Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation.
The voice of the Warriors. Invites you to take your seats.
Please take your seats.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
30 footer. Got it.
Welcome to the table.
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95.7, the game.
Here's Tim Roy.
Hey, where do you want to start tonight with Steph Curry? You know, where do you want to begin with Steph Curry, with what he's doing right now? Warriors continue the road trip tomorrow night. They wrap it up in the District of Columbia. 3:30 the airtime, 4 o'clock with the tip. And we're going to go to a man who writes for the Washington Post in just a moment. But wanted to just get your thoughts on it. 888-957-9570. That's the number to dial if you want to get in your thoughts on Steph Curry and what you see out there. Where would you like to begin? Would you like to begin in the month of April and talk about his numbers for the month of April? You want to do that, where he's averaging 40 a night, shooting 54.9, 50.3 beyond the arc, 90.9 at the free throw line? Do you just want to go the last five games, where he's averaging 44.8 a night with 5 rebounds and 5 assists, shooting 55, 55, and 90? I mean, it's incredible. This is once-in-a-lifetime stuff. And he's now had 30 or more in 11 straight games, most ever by a player 33 years or older. He has now joined Wilt Chamberlain, the only Warrior to ever have a 30-point streak of at least 11 games. He's 20 or more points in 5 straight halves, a career-best streak. I mean, where do you stop? Where do you stop? You're witnessing greatness right now. You're witnessing a player that is just living in another, as I said last night, another universe. It's another universe for him. And we're all getting a chance to witness that. All getting a chance to watch, you know, history on a nightly basis. And I got to tell you, I've never seen anybody be able to do it the way he's doing it. What I'm going to try to find out, and I'm going to call our guy Daryl, who's one of the and the PR staff, he does all of our game notes and keeps track of stuff like this. I want to find out if somebody, Synergy or Elias, can look up what the average shot attempt, you know, the distance for Steph Curry during the streak. What's the average distance that he's shooting? Because the guys who have done this in the past, like Wilt Chamberlain and people like that, you know, they've been, most of the guys have been close to the basket. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, those are the kind of guys that have these kind of streaks. Not a guy that's shooting from just inside half court. Not a guy that's living on the three-point line. So just incredible. Again, you can hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox, Warriors VOX. You can hit the text line, by the way, which is the same line, 888-957-9570. Or give me a call. We'll take your calls and comments on tonight's show. Later on, we're going to have a little look back at the Curry streak for you. We hope you enjoy that. You can also email me at timroy@warriors.com. That's T-I-M-R-O-Y-E @warriors.com. Again, Twitter is Warriors Vox. And again, we're witnessing greatness. It's also witnessing history today. The Derek Chauvin trial, as I'm sure you know now, was found guilty on all three counts. And, you know, just a day of history. Maybe it's a day we start moving in the right direction. The Warriors put out a statement today, and since this is the Warriors Roundtable, I am Tim Roy. I will read it to you. We are encouraged that the jury in Minneapolis earlier today moved quickly to impose accountability where it is so often missing. However, we realize this is only the beginning, and our communities and our country will need to continue to move forward with purposeful meaning and action in an effort to achieve racial justice in America. As we noted last summer, as an organization, we pledged to do our part as community leaders to make an impactful difference in this space. Overall, today was a step in the right direction, but the long journey must continue. So that's what the Warriors had put out earlier today. And we got it's a day of history, as we mentioned before. But we are going to talk basketball because this is the Warriors Roundtable. Ben Golliver of the Washington Post has been nice enough to make some time for us because earlier this week he wrote an article about the play-in tournament that's coming in. And, of course, a lot of the criticism, you heard Mark Cuban talk about that. And I personally think Mark was just kind of backing up Luka Doncic, who had expressed a disappointment about it. But the headline for the Washington Post online says, the best counter to criticism of the NBA play-in tourney, more Stephen Curry, and amen to that. And Ben, thank you so much for taking some time. We're also going to talk about your book. You've written a book about the NBA bubble, but I wanted to talk to you about Stephen Curry. And people hear me all the time trying to figure out ways to describe what he's doing and the impact he has on the game. From your seat, from your perspective, a guy that doesn't cover him day to day, where do you see his impact and the streak he's on right now? Where would you put that among pro sports accomplishments?
Well, I might not cover him day to day, but I've sure devoted an awful lot of my last 10 years to covering Steph Curry. I mean, I spent hundreds of nights in those Oakland hotels during long playoff trips because I think, ultimately, Stephen Curry and LeBron James are the most influential players of this generation, no matter how you look at it. If you want to rank one first or the other first, the other one's going to be second. I mean, he's no lower than two on that list. I think you're talking about Steph's influence, of course it's going to be the three-point shot. Of course it's going to be the push towards ball movement, body movement, getting that back into the NBA. I think it's also going to be kind of a counter to the player movement era where you have guys teaming up as superstars and Steph stands as the most prominent player who's sort of loyal at this point to his career. Giannis is falling in his category as well, but certainly Steph Curry's that guy, and I expect him to remain that guy. So I think not only does he represent a lot of the values that a lot of fans hold dear in terms of, relationship between a city and a player, not only does he represent some of the most exciting basketball we've ever seen in NBA history, but I think he also has always played the right way, has always played honorably and with sportsmanship. And to me, that's a huge credit. It's something that should be talked about more when we're weighing, who are the most important figures of these eras. And Steph just checks all those boxes. And that's why I think this play-in tournament is so interesting to view from Steph's perspective because, he's getting the play-in has actually made the Warriors games matter a lot more here for the last month of this regular season. It gives them an incentive to keep playing hard. And then, if you get Steph in a do-or-die environment, do you think Dallas and Luka Doncic and Mark Cuban really want to have to deal with an unleashed Steph Curry in a win-or-go-home format? I don't think so. And from the NBA's perspective, needing to generate revenue – given that fans haven't been able to be in the building, I mean, this is a gift to them, right? It's the biggest possible gift, this idea that Steph could play his way into the playoffs and get everybody excited. I think it's the number one story right now in the National Basketball Association.
Hey, the Warriors 2021 season presented by Kaiser Permanente. And I was never been a big Bud Selig guy, but the one thing he did, which I think has proven to be very successful, is he created the wild card in baseball. And what it does is it keeps games in that otherwise would be meaningless. It makes them meaningful and keeps the playoff story alive in about six or seven cities that maybe, it wouldn't have happened earlier before the wild card. And I think the play-in tournament also does that. You know, there's a lot more interest now, I think, in San Antonio and the Bay Area, New Orleans, up until maybe a game or so ago. You know, even in talking to my fellow announcers from Cleveland at the beginning of the road trip, you know, they were talking, hey, if we can just cobble together a 3 or 4 game win streak, we'll get right back into the hunt for the play-in. And so the storylines to me increase with something like this. So even though it's not, you know, it's not exactly, you know, I think the optimum solution, but it does keep people talking about the NBA.
Well, it's funny because one of Mark Cuban's arguments was, well, hey, we want to have more opportunities to rest our players before the playoffs, and that might be good for the Mavericks as they're lining up their playoff matchups. That's not necessarily the best-case scenario for the NBA when you're trying to win fans back during a pandemic and, you know, get people back into the buildings, you know, eventually once that's completely safe. You want to have as many reasons for people to buy tickets and tune into the broadcast as possible, right? And so it absolutely increases that engagement factor like you're describing. I also think it shapes some teams' decisions at the trade deadline, too. You know, a team like Chicago had a real shot at remaining in the play-in race, and they're still there. They're duking it out right now. And they decided to be buyers at the trade deadline. I think in some past years, they might have actually considered being sellers, maybe try to move a Thaddeus Young to a contender and not worry so much about, it'd be harder for them to get into the top eight. But now that they have a chance at the top 10, that makes it worthwhile. And they go out there and grab a Vucevic in a deal, right? You look at the Washington Wizards, right? Similar situation. In some years they might have decided, hey, let's sell on Bradley Beal and just, you know, kind of start a rebuild. This year they're saying, hey, we still have a shot at it. Let's keep going for it. And sure enough, they're right there in the mix now after what was a really tough start to the season for them. So you've still seen a few teams kind of head the other direction. You know, Orlando, Oklahoma City, they just kind of said, we don't have a shot at it. So it hasn't worked across the board, keeping all 30 teams invested. But certainly it's increased the number of teams that could have gone either way. And I'd say the same thing for Golden State. You know, let's put it this way. If there wasn't a play-in, would they be more careful with Steph Curry's minutes down the stretch? I would think so. You know, and they might decide to shut him down a little bit earlier and play for some draft picks. I mean, we've seen teams do that in the past. And this year it's like, well, this guy's averaging 40 points a game. You better keep him on the court. He's the best show in the sport.
Yeah, it's truly incredible, and I was making the point before you came on that we've seen this with, you know, players like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the past, but I don't think we've ever seen it with a guy shooting, you know, from half court to the 3-point line. I mean, he's really just changing everything. But I want to get back to what you were saying about how he checked all the boxes in this era, because I have this little theory of mine, and veteran Warrior listeners have heard this before, so I apologize to them, but I see this all the time when we were traveling, now I just see it on a TV monitor or on a screen, but invariably on the road when the Warriors would come to town in the last, you know, 5-7 years, the, you know, guys would walk by our broadcast spot of a family, and the mom or the dad has on the home team gear, and the little kid who's holding the parent's hand has a Curry jersey on there. And there's some sort of attraction about Curry for kids. Maybe it's because, you know, especially when he first entered the league, he looked like them. You know, he's not LeBron. You know, very few kids grow up to be with that kind of a body. But kids do grow up and look like Curry, especially when he first entered the league. So I think he's got a little magnetism there. Do you back that up or...
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, there's going to be a Curry generation. You know, all the coaches in high school and AAU already talked about all the kids who want to shoot three-pointers and step back deep behind the line and be like Curry. And you can even see his impact on his peers. You know, guys like Lillard and Trae Young backing up deeper behind the line because, you know, Steph kind of dared to dream. And I think when you do have such creative people and guys who are willing to do it their own way, that creates a natural magnetism. I think he's very charismatic in his own way without pounding his chest, which, you know, is a great way to be because I think it inspires your teammates along the way as well. And, you know, in terms of the kids and the impact on that, I think there's a real relatability factor, not just because he's sort of the little guy and he came in as the underdog and he's not overwhelming you with his size and force, but I also think it has to do with what a family guy he is. You know, I think it's really easy for kids to see how, you know, he'll invite Riley up on stage at a post-game press conference, and that's just very disarming. You know, it just makes you, it pulls you closer. It makes you feel like, oh, yeah, this guy could be my neighbor, even though obviously, you know, Steph's probably living in a different neighborhood than most of us. You know, there's a magnetism and a personality there for sure, and that's why I consider him a great ambassador for the sport. And, you know, the NBA needed this, by the way. I mean, we had a couple of really tough weeks there. It was kind of dog day games. A lot of the major national TV games, the stars were injured or they were just out. And so Steph Curry's timing here is just absolutely perfect to come along, get scorching hot, and turn a lot of these games like that one against Philly the other night was just a sensational game. And he's just putting them away down the stretch. And, you know, I'm sure the TV ratings, and there's a lot of kids at home probably watching that game as well.
Ben Golver's our guest on the Warriors Roundtable. I'm Tim Roy, and Ben writes for the Washington Post. You're also putting out a book here. It's going to come out next month. It's called Bubble Ball. Tell me a little bit about that. And you were one of the reporters that had access in the NBA bubble. What an exciting, you know, experiment it was. And what was it like being down there?
Well, it was very challenging. It was also very rewarding. You know, I was down there for 93 days, 92 nights, start to finish. I saw every single playoff game from the second round on. So I was able to kind of track the, you know, the storylines in much more depth, you know, because we were only in one place and we didn't really have to travel. But, you know, I always say the players were talking about how difficult it was. For me personally, it was difficult. You know, when I was down there, I put on some weight. I wasn't sleeping as well. The stress level was up for sure. You know, you're feeling the feelings of isolation, being 3,000 miles away from my family and not really able to see them. And so it was absolutely challenging. But at the same time, it was sort of like the greatest summer league ever. You know, game after game, we're getting superstar-level players, you know, playing at a very high level. And, you know, of course, it was a remarkable storyline for the Lakers fans here. I live in Los Angeles, and for them to claim a title, for LeBron to get his fourth, and for, you know, Anthony Davis to get his first, and to really seal off what was a tough season for them with Kobe Bryant's tragic death was amazing just to witness up close. You know, to see the level of work that went into it. I mean, these guys, you know, are accustomed to living in mansions and driving fancy cars, and instead they're stuck on shuttle buses and playing in front of empty gyms. You know, I kind of thought when I was there, when I was a sixth grader, and I wasn't even that great at basketball, I was playing in front of more fans than they were playing at during the NBA Finals. You know, so that kind of puts it into perspective on what a unique situation it was. But from that very first day when I got my first COVID test and they locked me in a hotel room for a week and said, you can't come out because we have to make sure you're healthy, till the very last night when LeBron was spraying me with champagne because there just wasn't anybody else to celebrate with. And I happened to be the only person standing there and a few other media writers. We all got doused. It was a very memorable experience. I think I'll remember that playoff run just because, you know, we weren't totally sure it was going to come together. We went down there with trepidation about whether people would stay healthy. I'll remember that one more than anyone I've covered, and I've been writing about the NBA since 2007. And so I was just glad to be the guy who could kind of write the time capsule book so that basketball fans in the future, you know, all those kids who are wearing Steph Curry jerseys right now, so when they grow up and they want to read about what happened in the NBA bubble, they're going to have a place to go.
At a level of 1 to 10, where would you give it in terms of being a success?
Well, I think from my standpoint, it was a 10 because they came in with two goals. You have to crown a champion. It was the 74th season in the NBA. They had crowned a champion in the first 73. So you better keep that streak alive. And when the league shut down in March, that was absolutely not a guarantee, right? Second, their goal was to keep everybody safe, right? And I think that they did that with flying colors, zero positive tests while we were in the bubble. And there was no guarantee, you know. I got down there and I brought some suits and I said I wasn't going to wear the suit until we got to the finals. And when I first got there, I was like, man, there's probably a 50-50 chance I'm ever going to wear these suits. But sure enough, you know, the weeks passed by. It was clear that the health protocols were working and everybody stayed safe. And I think one other important point to the bubble and why it was a success, there was a lot of asterisk talk coming in. You know, would this champion be validated? Would people look on this as a real playoffs? And to me, the greatest validation of the bubble came from how teams responded. You know, you saw teams like Philadelphia completely clear house, you know, changing the front office, changing the coach, making some major trades to their roster. We saw Houston go a completely different direction. You know, we saw a number of teams, even the Lakers, feeling like, look, we were good enough to win one, but we're going to have to get better if we want to defend this thing. We saw all these different teams treat the bubble as if it, you know, was, you know, legitimate and it counted and those results mattered and they were reflective on their players. You know, you saw Milwaukee make a big trade to go grab a Jrue Holiday. And so in my mind, that was really the success. You can't take anything away from the quality of product that was on the court, which to me was very high because players were well rested and didn't have to travel. And then, you know, you ultimately accomplished the major goals and also generated about $1 billion in television revenue, which certainly the NBA needed at that point. when they put this whole thing together.
So, Ben, when can people get the book? How can they get it?
Well, they can order it right now. You can pre-order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Pretty much any major retail location will have it. And it will be released on May 4th. So, I appreciate you letting me come on here and talk about it. And if they want to check out my Instagram, at ben.golliver, I have a little preview of the book. I show off some of the pictures that I took while I was down there that made it into the book. And I kind of show off a couple other details as well. And it was a passion project for me, and I'm really excited to see what other basketball fans, hardcore fans, have to say about it once they read it.
And Ben's also got a Monday morning NBA newsletter. You can sign up at the Washington Post. I just did. Can't wait to get started on that. Ben, thank you so much, and hopefully if everything breaks right in the next few years, hopefully we'll see you back in the Bay in some hotels watching playoff basketball.
Well, once Clay's back, you better watch out. I think that's pretty much what we're all thinking about. We're looking into that medium-term distance and thinking, okay, these guys could be a problem if Steph's going to play like this and Clay's back on the court.
Absolutely. It should be a lot of fun, and we hope to see Clay sometime soon. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, the Warriors Roundtable continues. It's Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. When we come back here on 95.7, your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, we will relive some of the great moments of the last couple of weeks from Stephen Curry. That's going to come your way next, plus your calls and comments at 888-957-9570. Where do you put the Steph Curry run with any other sports run, any other sport? Where do you put this run by Stephen Curry with any other run in any other sport, any other streak, any other individual player performance over, say, a few weeks' time? Where do you put that? Give me a call. Let me know where you stack this one up. 888-957. Hit me up on Twitter at Warriors Vox. The Roundtable continues on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7. The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable. Has returned on 95.7 The Game. Now back to Warriors Vox.
A look away three. Oh my goodness, that's ridiculous. You've got to be kidding me.
Tim Roy.
Hey, Dub Nation, we're excited to welcome you back to Chase Center, starting with a game on April 23rd against Denver. Single-game tickets for the remaining home games are available right now. So go to Warriors.com to buy yours and learn more about the new health and safety protocols. It's going to be fun to have fans back in the stands on Friday night, 7 o'clock, when the Warriors take on Denver. And I just can't wait for that. It's been all very clinical. As if from a broadcasting standpoint, not that what it is for me is important, but It's just different, you know, and I'm sure the players will tell you the same thing. Even the games where the Warriors have had some fans, they talk about the energy. Even, you know, a couple of thousand in Boston, a couple of thousand in New York, there's a different energy when there's people in the stands and hanging on to every play. So I can't wait for that on Friday. That's going to be so much fun. And let me tell you, as I've said last week, the Warriors have been working on this since last spring, a year ago. And so every detail has been combed over about four or five times. And it's going to be safe, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be a step in the right direction. 888-957-9570, that's the number to call if you want to talk about Steph Curry and the streak. Where do you put it all time? From the 510, he says Curry is killing it right now, and he puts it up with Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak. That's interesting. That's interesting. I think a hitting streak is one of in baseball, it's one of a durability and consistency, right? You have to have, you know, you can go one for four, but that keeps your hitting streak alive. What Steph is doing is much more, I think, intense and at a higher level in a shorter burst, obviously. You know, he's had like 11 games of 30 or more. That's not a 56-game hitting streak. But I think to sustain the level he's been at for 11 games requires just as much discipline and just as much talent and effort and energy, maybe even more energy than a baseball hitting streak, just because of the way basketball is played. So if you have a thought on that, 888-957-9570, or any thought about the Warriors, about the season, I think it's really interesting to watch how the combination of their injuries and the shuffling of the lineup and Steph playing at an incredibly high level and the schedule getting a little bit easier, to be honest, that this team has started to play really well. And it's I think they found the right formula for this group. You know, it's not elite. It's not, they're not, you know, as Steve Kerr said, it's not like the NCAA tournament. They're not going to win a play-in game like UCLA and get to the final. But yeah, get to the Final Four. But I think there is a chance, I think, for this team to have a lot of fun in the postseason. I really do, because the one thing that gets constantly overlooked about this team is their defense. They shut down Philadelphia in the third quarter. It was an ugly, grinded-out third quarter, and the Warriors were there toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with them. And I was on a talk show before, and the talk show host from down in Florida was saying, well, they didn't have Simmons or Harris. And I said, that's absolutely true. The Warriors haven't had Klay Thompson for 2 years. So it's the NBA. That's all part of it. You know, the injuries are all part of it. And sometimes you're facing a team that's a full squad. Sometimes you're not. Well, Stephen Curry's been fantastic over the last few weeks. And it's just been a marvel. He's making the unbelievable commonplace. A guy scores 30 in an NBA game, that's a big deal. That's a great night. There's a couple of broadcasts that they mention when players on other teams score 30 in another game because they think that's a good milestone. That's an incredible milestone. He's making that look like, well, he just had 30 again. You know, he's making it look common in an uncommon way. And it's unbelievable. I'm kind of like Steve Kerr in this sense. I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of running out of ways to describe just how brilliant he has been. But let's go back, and thanks to our associate producer, James Kincaid, who put together this little package and look back at what Steph's been doing lately.
You, the Jordan meme, right? I take all that personally.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, it's jam.
Curry. Top side, top of the key, comes right down the lane again through traffic and somehow negotiated his way all the way to the rim and scored. There was at least four Hawks involved in the play. Draymond waits for Curry off a pin down, catches, crowded by Young, backs up to the logo, screened by Draymond, splits traffic, gets to the paint, floater up and good, and a foul! Curry!
That's surreal, to be honest. I mean, I don't know how many years he played here, but he's got a lot of buckets, you know, obviously, and his legend remains across the whole league. But obviously, wearing a Warriors uniform and You know, having been here my whole career, it's pretty crazy. So, I mean, I've got a couple more points to score, hopefully some more wins in the process, but it is, it's a wild just thought in general to know, like you said, where it started, all that's happened, you know, over the course of the career. Obviously got a lot more to do, but that is a pretty significant milestone that I'll, you know, God willing, when it happens, I'll appreciate that moment.
Wiggins will take it across midcourt. Have a horns look to two big guys up top. Wiseman catches, hand off Curry. Curry off to the races, drives, floats it high off the window over Lopez. It's up and good. Bucks showing double. Curry now side saddle with a dribble, faces up between the legs twice. Now fakes and drives, stops, gets the ball back from the hash mark. It's good for Curry with 4.7 to go. Curry back to Draymond. Draymond rotates over to Oubre Jr. Same spot, same shot, and a different result. Rebound loose. Wiggins had it. Tipped it to Curry. Curry for three straight on. It's up and good! Curry knocked it down!
I just hope, you know, everyone that's watching this is really embracing what this man is doing, giving it his all every night. And, you know, he demands a lot of attention. And, you know, when he's on the floor and, you know, banging him up, I'm taking it to the other team as well. You know, we always got his back. We're gonna go to war for him every night. And it's just remarkable what he's done. You know, especially, you know, you see a guy, you know, roll an ankle, miss five games. You know, they come back a shell of themselves, but he missed all of last season and on a bad tailbone, and is still playing at an extremely high level. So I hope people that are watching are, you know, just being appreciative of this moment.
Draymond Green has it, leads Wiggins on a long breakaway. He runs it down, spins it back, finds Curry right side, stepped around wall behind the back, scoop to the hoop, good and a foul, you gotta be kidding me. And he runs up into the stands to celebrate. Curry has scored 15 in a row. Now gets Wood on a switch, takes a three, make it 18 from the left side.
Oh, man, that guy.
31 times. Curry trying to split traffic, somehow does, down, spins, gets to the rim and scores again! 20 straight points for Curry. He's got 33. 2:13 left in the quarter. Curry in traffic for about 30. Curry knocked it down. He's 1 point away from the record, and the Warriors have tied the game at 29.
Did you see how he slowed down so he could cut behind Jokic? He set that up beautifully.
17,782 for Curry. Dribble drive. Curry goes in, drives the layup. It's up and good. And there he is, Stephen Curry. Now the all-time leading scorer in Warriors franchise history. He shines brighter than the Big Dipper as he passes Wilt Chamberlain into history. He got it done in the first quarter.
Wow.
Got it out of the way.
That's like, man, let's get this over with and move on with the game.
But history made here at quarter number one in the ball game against Denver. Stephen Curry is now the all-time leading scorer in franchise history, passing the great Wilt Chamberlain and just adding another line in the Warriors record book, one that when he retires will be filled with Curry mentions.
Steph, on all the former players that you put in your rearview mirror, I want to congratulate you on becoming the Warriors franchise all-time leading scorer. Just an amazing accomplishment and milestone, one of many that you've already accomplished in your historic NBA career, but yet passing Wilt Chamberlain is just an amazing milestone. I mean, I've watched you from day one, and it's just been a pleasure and a joy to watch you. So congratulations, of course, but more important, I want to thank you for the way you've done it.
The boards. Curry stops, changes direction, dribbles, circles to the left sideline, stops and fires. That's up and that's good. Curry with another three ball, and he drove through the entire defense to do it.
What he's doing is ridiculous. I mean, nobody has ever shot the ball like this. And the fact that he does it, whether it's off the catch or off the dribble, pretty amazing. Most guys are sort of one or the other. He can shoot anywhere, anytime, any situation, any defender on him. It's kind of crazy, you know, what he does out there. It's hard to fathom sometimes watching him make some of those shots.
Resistance, Curry left side, behind the back to Draymond. Draymond up top, dribbles in, feeds over, got to Wiggins. Wiggins back to Draymond, back to Curry. Curry, no look to Draymond, touch pass inside to Looney, couldn't handle it. Up top to Wiggins, it goes to Curry. An open three, it's gone. It's good, and Curry has put the Warriors now over the century mark with 5:27 to go in the third. Curry fades and fires. This one's up. It's good again. Stephen Curry with another three.
Well, he's got that magic 32 plus, doesn't he?
Yep, 33 for Stephen Curry.
You know, we got to find a new word for him. You know, we can't use out of this zone. We can't use hot. We can't, man, we got to find a new word for Stephen Curry, man. He's redefining the game every day, and so it's just a blessing to be a part of it.
Curry spins on Grant Williams. Pump fake, goes up, got fouled. He shot a left-handed, and it went in! It went in from beyond the arc! Will they count it?
They have to. We saw Wiggins. That was the play we haven't seen. Like, unbelievable. But this.
You have got to be kidding me.
This is ridiculous.
Curry to the timeline. Straight on from the logo. It's up and good for Curry. And we've got a one-point game after the three by Curry.
He drilled it, and that was like radar.
It was target acquisition acquired. We have tone. Step off a screen. Right sideline fades and fires. He got another one! Steph Curry! He's on a different level. He's playing in a different universe than the rest of the NBA.
It's not just the skill level. It's the confidence. It's the bravado. It's the willingness to fail and not think twice about it. He goes for it every time, every play. Competes. Not afraid of failure and trusts his skills because he's worked his whole life for this, and he's just at the peak of his powers.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
So are you entertained? Were you entertained? Unbelievable what he's doing right now. Stephen Curry, 888-957-9570. This is the Warriors Roundtable. I'm Tim Roy. Hit me up on Twitter on Warriors Vox, which Steve just did, and he has pointed this out to me. He's created a new word. He says it's an adjective of the highest quality, so high, in fact, no other adjectives will do it justice when all superlatives have been exhausted. As he heard me say, like Steve Kerr, I'm out of words to talk about this. He says it's called the Stephrelative. Stephrelative. That's his new word, his new adjective, Stephrelative. So anyway, thank you, Steve, for contributing on that. You can, too. Give me a call at 888-957-9570. You want to talk about Steph and his streak? Where do you put that all time, whether it be NBA, MLB, whatever sport you want to talk about? And then also, if you want to just talk about the Warriors and the way they're playing right now and the new starting lineup for Golden State. As I mentioned before, I think they've kind of hit upon the formula. You know, Kelly Oubre Jr. coming off the bench, and he's talked about the fact he thinks he's a starter in this league, and I agree with him. I think he's a starter in the league too, but I think for this team, it's going to eventually give them a lot more balance with Oubre Jr. coming off the bench because he's got firepower and he can score. And I think once he understands that he's going to have a green light to score coming off the bench, I think that's going to make it a lot more easier for him. We've seen other guys adapt to this as well. From the 925 in the text line, he says the one thing he can compare Steph's streak to is the 24-0 start that the Warriors had back in the 2015-2016. So that's pretty good right there when you talk about that start. That was another one where when you're inside of it and you're covering every game as I was and watching them, you know, beat everybody, it's really hard to understand just how great that was. But then when you know, look back at it years later, you go, oh my goodness, how did that happen? You know, how did that occur? By the way, news today for Brooklyn. Interesting news. James Harden had a setback in his hamstring rehab. He had another MRI, and he's going to be out indefinitely. So, Brooklyn, in assembling their team, and remember how the Warriors had to fight through some injuries when Kevin Durant came by. In fact, one to Kevin, he got hurt in his hometown of Washington, D.C. But they've had Harden, Durant, and Kyrie Irving for a total of seven games this year. Seven. Now they have to go into the playoffs, and probably they might get a couple of more before the end of the season, maybe three or four more, but not much more than that. And so, you know, maybe five to ten, maybe tops. But so that's going to be interesting that they really don't have a real baseline to work with this squad, that they're going to have to cobble it together sort of game by game, and that's going to be very difficult for Steve Nash to get the kind of continuity he wants going into the playoffs. So that's a very interesting development in the Eastern Conference of the NBA to, you know, what happens there. And, boy, they're intriguing to me watching them, you know, and I'm curious to see how they react to all that and what kind of effort they can come with. Now, on this road trip, Warriors have hit a number of sites, and I've had a chance to been around the game a long time to assemble some different things from time to time. And you know, the road trip started in Oklahoma City. Well, the Oklahoma City Thunder were at one point, they were the Seattle Supersonics. And so because I love history and I love the history of the game, you know, I decided, well, I'll just go back in my files and see if I can pull stuff out about each team. With Seattle, I could have played something from their battles with the Warriors or their battles with the Bullets, maybe going to the finals against Michael and the Bulls, or you know, winning the title back in the late 70s. Instead, I found this one with the incomparable Kevin Calabro at the mic. Check it out.
Illegal defense. They were double-teaming Kemp without the basketball. Now we've got Del Negro and Peyton drawn at each other. Vinny Askew steps in on Del Negro, and I think they headbutted each other. Good golly, right in front of the spur band, where John Lucas is trying to sort things out with Joe Borgia and Bill Spooner. Watch Vinny step in, and pow! Look at the two of them just butted heads, like a couple of goats over on the peninsula in springtime, Wally.
Pow! Yeah, Wally, by the way, was Wally Walker, who later went on to be the general manager of the Seattle SuperSonics. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course, they had won the title in 2016 in the final against the Warriors. And before that, one of their biggest moments in franchise history was in 1976, where they eliminated the Baltimore/Washington Capitol Bullets. And in a game where it was called the Miracle at Richfield, the old Richfield Coliseum. And also the fact that we lost the legendary announcer Joe Tate earlier this year. I decided to bring that one, dust it off, and here's what happened in that game.
9 seconds left in the game, and it's tied at 85. Clemens will inbound on the left side. The Cavaliers are out of timeouts. Clemens looks and waits, flips to Snyder. Snyder sideline left. Snyder on the dribble drive to the hoop. Put it up. Score! Snyder scores with 4 seconds to go. And the Bullets take time. Cleveland 87. And Bullets 85 with 4 seconds to go.
What's really cool about that one, if you're a geek like I am, if you listen closely, you could hear some static. That's because it was taped off the radio, and so you could hear some static off the call. That was Joe Tate, and a great call. And the guy who hit the shot there was Dick Snyder. Now, of course, the Warriors went on to Boston and played the Celtics and then moved on to Philadelphia. And in Philadelphia, that's the Warriors' original home. They were the Philadelphia Warriors. And, in fact, that's where they won their first championships in the BAA in 47 and in the NBA in 56. And part of the NBA title was a guy named Paul Arison, of course, in the Hall of Fame. And when I first got to the Warriors, my boss, David McGahee, had me interview some of the old Philadelphia Warriors. And one of them was Paul Arison. And he talked to me about that championship and what it meant to him some 40 years later.
To me, that's the ultimate for a basketball player. That still remains as my biggest thrill in basketball. When I can remember how exalted and how excited I was walking off the court after we had beaten Fort Wayne. And I really feel sorry in a way for anybody who's not been on a championship team. My only regret is I wish I had been on more, but unfortunately after that we ran into Boston with Bill Russell and Heinsohn and that crew.
That's right. They ran into a very, very good teams that with the Celtics, and of course the only teams that beat them in their run were the St. Louis Hawks and the Philadelphia 76ers, who moved to Philadelphia after the Warriors had left. They were the Syracuse Nationals. So the Warriors of Washington, they'll wrap up the road trip tomorrow, 3:30 with the pregame show, 4 o'clock with the start time, Warriors and Wizards, and then back home on Friday to take on the Denver Nuggets, Warriors and the Denver, and that starts at 7 o'clock with a 6:30 airtime. We'll come back. We've got scores to look at and a look ahead to the rest of the schedule. The Warriors Roundtable continues on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy is holding court. Pun intended.
Join me in my court at Camelot.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Now back to Warriors Box.
It's good!
Tim Roy.
Hey, the Warriors are teaming up with Kaiser Permanente and the Athlete's Corner to turn points into meals with Swishes for Dishes. That's right, Swishes for Dishes. And the Warriors, of course, doing that. Each point the Warriors score, 100 meals. 100 meals will be donated to local food banks to support Bay Area families. Go to warriors.com/swish to learn something more. Now, the Warriors end their road trip, and that is going to be tomorrow, as they take on the Washington Wizards, 3:30 with the start time. We'll tell you more about the schedule in just a moment. But first, to our Kaiser Permanente scoreboard. We start off with a game, Atlanta-Orlando. Not a lot going on in this game as the Hawks jumped out to a lead, but we found this exchange between Steve Holman and his color commentator.
It is a three-shot foul. Cole Anthony picks up the foul. How about that? That's 3 3-point fouls we've seen in the first half.
Yeah, that's very unusual, isn't it?
They're usually hard to come by.
Hawks 9-for-10 on their free throws.
First one by Trey is good.
Yeah, this became an 18-point game really fast.
Yeah, it was close.
It was really, really close in the first quarter. And the Hawks just kind of slowly but surely have surged their way here to a potential 18-point lead.
And don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley. Any announcer that channels Airplane, you know, you picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. The Hawks win 112-96 over Orlando. Trae Young with 25 points and 7 assists. Cole Anthony with 17 for the Magic. We move on to the game between the Charlotte Hornets. They were at Madison Square Garden, and this is how the first half ended.
Randall into the lane, up with the left-hand lane. No, too strong. Rebound Bridges. Shot clock is dark. Hornets are going to lead heading to the second half. The question is, by how much? Terry Rozier holding for 1:08 on the clock. Moves to his right. Rises for 3. Rims it. Oh, it crawls in. It used all of the iron and decided it wanted to go down. The power of Terry. R.J. Barrett, buzzer beater from near half court. No, Terry Rozier. That was like a Plinko chip hovering around the million-dollar cylinder. And it looks like it's about to bounce out, and finally it finds its way through.
Unfortunately for Charlotte, that was their high watermark of the night. The Knicks win 109-97. Julius Randle with 16 points and 10 rebounds. Knicks are 5 games above 500, 32-27. Elsewhere on the card, Kyra Lewis chips in for New Orleans.
My heavens, Johnson bounce feed to Kyrie in the lane, but a little too strong, and it's taken by Marshall. Running the break. Chest it over to Kyra for a corner 3. Rinsed. So Marshall again was just looking for the assist. He had a chance to go in there and lay it up.
Yeah, nice job running the break. They had numbers, and Kyra, good job spacing the floor and was open on the right side to hit the 3.
First tray for Lewis. Oh, boy, we left.
And, of course, right now that game's still in the balance. Brooklyn 122, Pelicans 122, 11 to go in that one. Elsewhere tonight, the L.A. Clippers are in Portland, and that's an interesting game there between two teams that should factor into the playoff spots in the Western Conference. The Clippers have dominated the Trailblazers. They've won the last 5 games between the two teams. The other game on the card tonight has the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Sacramento Kings. De'Aaron Fox, who helped Sacramento to a win over Dallas two nights ago, had 30 points and 12 assists. And the Kings have had five 30 and 12 point assist games from all other players. Reggie Theus had two of them, Kenny Smith with one, Spud Webb had one, and Mitch Richmond had one as well. Let's look ahead to the schedule. Warriors and the road trip tomorrow night in Washington, D.C.
Westbrook on the dribble, looking to break down Bradley. Feeds in the lane. Lopez, couple pump fakes. Hook shot, top of the restrictor arc, is good. And that might be the knockout blow. 118-107, Wizards with the lead with a minute 11 left in the fourth quarter.
Just so under control is Robin Lopez. And I love how Russ and Brad look for him.
That's right, 3:30 with the airtime as the Warriors try to slow down Russell Westbrook and crew. 4 o'clock with the tip. And then the Warriors go on to take on the Denver Nuggets. That's a 7 o'clock tip Friday night back at Chase Center. 6:30 with the pregame show. And, of course, what that means, fans in the stands at Chase Center. That should be a lot of fun. The Sacramento Kings will be in town on Sunday, another 7 o'clock start, 6:30 with the tip. And, of course, on Tuesday, the Dallas Mavericks, 6 o'clock with the airtime, 6:30 start. And, again, that's at Chase Center. Roundtable comes your way next Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95-7 the game. I want to thank everybody connected with the broadcast tonight, thanking our head producer, and that is our senior radio producer. I should say that correctly, or else he'll get mad at me. That is R.C. Davis. Our associate producer, James Kincaid, worked on tonight's show. Thanking Ben Golliver for chipping in, and also Craig Carlos Valentino, who's the man at the controls. I'm Tim Roy. We'll talk to you tomorrow night as the Warriors take on the Washington Wizards. I'll be teamed up with Jim Barnett tomorrow evening. And don't forget to stick around right here, because the final word is next on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95-7, the game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.